Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Look with me in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and I'll begin reading with verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country a different way. It says, when they saw the star, that star began to attract them and turn them to move in the direction of where the Savior was. That star, out of billions of stars, God chose one star and lit it up especially bright so that it would get the attention of these kings that, according to history, were living in India. And that light was so bright on that one star that God chose that they followed that star from India to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The star was bright because of its close proximity to the sun. Because it was closer to the sun than the other stars, it had a brighter shine. And it was that shining light that gave direction to the seekers and the searchers, the people who were in other religions. But when they saw the star was the travel guide that God would use to get them to the Savior in the manger. It had a brighter light. There was something about it that made it stand out and pop and made them notice it. In their minds, when they finally got to Bethlehem, and they bowed down in worship, in awe, worshiping the Savior, knowing the heaviness of the moment, I'm sure in their mind they probably were thinking, I'm so glad God put that star in my path. If God had not used that star as a travel guide, I would have never found the Savior. I would not be here today. I would have missed the greatest moments of my life. And it's all because God put a bright, shining star in my path that He used as a travel guide when I was searching and seeking to get me to the Savior. And I thought about how that none of us are here by accident, that all of us have been starstruck if we know Jesus Christ, that God used somebody because of their close proximity to the Son, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N of God. Somebody, some granny, some daddy, some mama, some brother, some sister, some preacher, somebody, a colleague at work, got so close to the Son of God that their light began to shine and it began to get our attention that there's something different about that star. It shines brightly. There's something different about that person. I can't put my finger on it. And when you were in sin and when you were lost and some of you were on drugs and some of you were deep in alcoholism, but God in His mercy lit up some Christian brightly and they got your attention. And God used them as a travel guide to get you to the Savior. And you wouldn't be here this morning, but their light was brighter than other people's. They stood out in the crowd. They were your travel guide. You might have been on drugs. You might have been in a sinful life, but you noticed them. Maybe a colleague at work, but there was something different about them. It may have been a parent. It may be someone who's in heaven this morning. But the truth is, if their light had not been bright, then nobody would have followed them, including you, and found the Savior. I was thinking about how that God uses the little things. It's not the big deals, but it's when, as a parent, I want to ask you, is your light bright enough that your children are using your life as a travel guide to get to the Savior? I thought about my dad and Christmas growing up in a pastor's home. He was a preacher in a little town in Henderson, North Carolina. We pastored a church of about 100 people called North Henderson Church of God. And we didn't have a lot of people, but on Christmas Sunday and Easter, we had our biggest crowds, and that would attract up to 120 people. And I'm telling you, that little country church looked jam-packed. It was the most exciting thing. We loved Christmas Sunday. Here's why. We always had the glorious Christmas play. What we would do is run a steel wire across the front of the building, and they would take bed sheets and use clothespins to make curtains. And then we got high tech and got shower rings and put them on a few years later so we could pull the curtains like professionals do. And we couldn't afford animals and live nativity, so they would build a manger. And ultimately, Mary and Joseph would come out. They would tell us to, if you were going to be in the play, you know, you had to bring your own costume. They didn't provide any, so we would all bring our bathrobes. And everybody knew to bring their bathrobe. And I remember it like it was yesterday in that little church. Finally, the time had come. It was Christmas, and we would peep out the curtain, and every place was filled. The pew was packed, and we had never seen a crowd like that. This was big time to us, and we were so excited, and finally that moment came. The lights went out. Everything went black. And that was the sign to the two mean kids that were too mean to get a part on the stage. The only thing they were good for was to open the curtain, but they never got the right message at the right time. And they were supposed to open the curtain because the deer light, we couldn't afford a spotlight, and they would have a deer light and they would shoot it up on the curtain, and they were supposed to open it and nobody would open it. And ultimately what would happen is the director of the play, usually my mother, would reach her hand out and just open the curtain, and the glorious Christmas play would begin. And if you watched long enough, Mary and Joseph in their bathrobes holding a plastic baby Jesus would come out, and Joseph had a cardboard donkey that had been cut out from a box up under his arm, because you had to have a donkey and we couldn't afford a real one, but he would carry it across the stage. And then was my part. I always had a sheep or a cow, and I would put cotton on the sheep and glue it to it, and we would pick it up, and at some point we would move and set it down, and we had to make the sheep noise, baa, baa, and somebody else would say, moo, moo, and we would move across the stage. And I'm telling you, it sounds so corny and so silly, but when we would get into that manger scene finally, and Mary would hold the baby up, and everybody would light a candle and start to sing in that little church, silent night, holy night. And it would move us. And sometimes I'd be behind the sheep just crying. And you know, it's just something about it just touched my heart. But my favorite part of Christmas Sunday, I was just thinking about this yesterday, was when Daddy would finish with an altar call, and then he would say, everybody stay where you are. And he would walk down that little middle aisle, hardwood floors, and he would go to the back of the church. And there were boxes and boxes and boxes of little brown bags that the Franklin family on Saturday had filled up with fruit and candy. I can tell you exactly what was in every bag, because we had packed 150 of them. One orange, one tangerine, one apple, one box of raisins, small box, some candy canes, and the best part, if you were a kid, a sneaker or a Milky Way. And if the tithes and offerings had been good, we might get one of both. But it just depended on how the budget had gone that year. And it's the weirdest thing, but the thing that I remember the most is Dad would stand out in the lobby, and he would personally take a bag in his hand, because he had told us, nobody's going to come to my church on Christmas Sunday and not get a gift and a hug. And so he would cause a traffic jam at the door, but he would put a bag of candy and fruit, hug a neck, and the next one would step up. And I don't know why, but that so impressed me as a child. I sat there and I watched him love his congregation, and throw his arms around those children and old folks and people that were there. And they act like he was giving out diamonds in that bag. People were smiling and so happy. And to this day, I was thinking about it yesterday, it was the most exciting, happiest time. His light was shining. And I wouldn't be here today had God not used him as a travel guide to bring me to Jesus. And then one Sunday night in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, my brother Richie got up and he had spent all afternoon fasting and praying. All afternoon. I noticed at the lunch table that he was not there. And somebody said, "Where's Richie?" And somebody mumbled, "He's fasting again." And he was fasting for me, because he knew I wasn't living right. And he got up and he started singing, "At the cross, at the cross." And his light began to shine so bright that I couldn't stand it anymore. And even though I was sitting in the back of the church and nobody was giving an altar call, I got up out of my seat, because his light was the travel guide and it said, "You got to move now." And I got up without an invitation being offered and walked down the aisle and went to the left side of the sanctuary and dropped to my knees and started weeping. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm here today because God put some shining bright stars in my life that led me to the Savior. I think we ought to take a moment. You got somebody that you could put in that slot, and just put your hands together and thank the Lord for the shining lights. Where would you be? So I want to quickly come to an end here, but I want to say that God wants us to be shiny stars. There are people who are searching and seeking. What if I'd have walked into that Sunday night service and nobody had had a burden? Nobody had got close enough to the Son of God that their light would shine bright enough that it would touch me, sitting on the back seat of the church. You can be that light to your family. You can be that light to people on the job. You can be that shining star that they become starstruck, and it's not for you. It's not for your glory or your honor. All you are is the one pointing them to the Savior. But he's got to use somebody. And when they got to the star, then they found that Jesus was in the stable. They were not expecting him to be in the stable. That's why they went by Herod's palace. They expected the king of the universe to be in the palace. But instead, they followed the star, and it didn't lead them to the palace. It led them to the stable. What do you do when you follow the star and it leads you to the stable? What do you do when you have a dream and you follow Jesus and you think that all that he's going to do is make your life one happy, clappy, exciting life where no problems come, and you follow the star, the ultimate star, Jesus, and you end up in a stable? Sometimes we almost think that if we're not in the palace, God's not with us. If we're not living the palace life with everything coming our way and everything going our way and every blessing hitting our life, that somehow we must not be in the will of God. But the truth is, when you follow the real star, Jesus Christ, yes, thank God for the palace days and the times when you're living high and God is blessing you and everything's on a mountaintop. But I want you to not forget that sometimes you follow the star and you end up in a stable. A couple is following the star of marriage, and they're so beautiful, and they're holding hands, and they're exchanging vows, and it's picture perfect. But a few years later, infidelity, heartbreak, and suddenly they followed the star, and now they're in the stable. What do you do? What do you do when you take all that you own and you follow the star and you prayed about it and you start your own business, but the economy shifts and you were following the star, but you ended in the stable? What do you do when your health is gone and you're sick and suffering and you end up in the stable? You do what those wise men did. They began to look for God in the stable. Because I've come today to preach to somebody that God is not just there in the high days when you're living the palace life, but you'll find Jesus closer and nearer and dearer to you when you're in the stable, when you're going through the lowest seasons of your life, when nothing's going right. That's where you'll find Jesus. I'm saying to some of you that the only way that God could have ever had you find Jesus is he had to allow you to move from the palace to the stable. Because as long as you were on top of the world, you didn't need him. But when he allowed you to go from the palace to the stable, you can actually say, Lord, thank you for the stable, because this is where I found Jesus. And they meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. And somehow God has taken a mess and turned it into a message and a testimony for his glory. Come on, somebody, and give the Lord a shout of praise. This is what you do when you follow a star and you end up in a stable. You look for God, because standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And he'll never be closer to you. You'll never be as close to God in the palace as you will be in the stables of life. And then not only that, what amazes me is these wise men, when they got in the stable, they offered their best worship in the stable. The natural inclination would be in this filthy, damp, dirty stable would be to withhold your best. I'm not going to give the gold here. It doesn't belong here. This is nasty. I'm not going to give the frankincense and the myrrh. This is expensive worship, and it shouldn't be in the stable. It should be in the palace. I'm going to give my best worship when everything's going right, and I'll give God the glory, and he'll really find that I love him. But these wise men were wise because they said, God is in the stable, and we're going to give our best worship in unpleasant circumstances. What you need to learn to do is to worship God, not just when you're in the palace life, but when you're in the stables of life. If you can ever learn to give the best praise in unpleasant circumstances, you will see God move mightily when you praise him, because the praise that costs the most counts the most. They begin to worship with expensive worship in a nasty, filthy place in life. The worship that God really looks for in your life is not when you're in the palace, but it's when you're in the stable and your heart is broken and your life is shattered and you don't know what the future holds. But all you know is you can look back and see the faithfulness of God and see how that he had stars. Just when you almost went the wrong way forever, a star started shining and it turned you back, and somehow he maneuvered all that hell meant to destroy you with. God said, it's working for your good, and you're more than a conqueror, and I'm going to get glory out of this, and somehow I'm going to get you back on your knees at the feet of the Savior. And I'm going to raise you up from the stable, and I'm going to do great things in your life, and you're going to become a bright, shining light because of what you've been through. That's going to touch your children and your children's children for generations. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Ooh. Old day star, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Ooh. Just lead me, Lord. I'll follow anywhere you open the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen. To be a witness, you can take what's wrong and make it right. Make it right. Day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me.
stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in somebody's dark night. Oh, oh, oh. Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast. Have a great week.